You know, every time I speak, I'm mindful that I'm always speaking to two groups of people. First group of people I'm speaking to are those that are still lost, those that are still under the judgment of sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And it says in that same chapter of Romans chapter 3, for the wages of sin is death. Jesus, when he went to Calvary, was God's payment for all of our sin. And if you're here this morning, you've never believed on him as your Savior, you're in this first group. You're in this group that, again, is still under the judgment of sin, dead in sin, as the Bible talks about it, headed for hell, lost. And then, of course, the second group that I always speak to is that those that are saved, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have trusted him to save you. Still sinners, like we sang about this morning, only a sinner saved by grace. But all of our sins are under the blood. All of our sins are paid for in full. And now that we're saved, the Bible says that God expects us to work. It says there in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works any man should boast. But then it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so he wants us to work for him. He wants us to grow, like we talked about in Sunday school a little bit. He wants us to grow in his grace and his faith. He wants us to try to be more like him, more like Jesus. And so that second group is saved. And I always try, every time I speak, to give something to both groups, to help both groups. And it's not that hard, because if you're here today and you're in that first group, you're lost, you need Jesus. That's what you need. You need Jesus. And if you're here today and you're saved, you belong to that second group, you need the same thing. You need more of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to speak to both groups, both to the lost and to the saved, and tell you more about Jesus as I preach a sermon entitled, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? In Matthew chapter 8, we meet a man. He's a Roman. So as a Roman, he's part of a conquering force. The Romans at this time ruled the world. He's also a Roman with a position, because the Bible says that he's a centurion. He's a captain. He has 100 soldiers that are under his command. We also find out about this man, about this centurion, about this Roman, that he was a kind man. And we get that because he came to Jesus on behalf of a sick servant. Now, most rulers, most centurions probably would not do that. But this centurion was kind, because he had a servant at home that was sick of the palsy, and the Bible says he was grievously tormented. He suffered from that disease. And here comes a man, a Roman, a centurion, to Jesus asking for help. Now, in another gospel, we read that some Jewish friends came with him. And again, because he had Jewish friends, we learn that he was kind. Because it was very unusual that Jews would like a Roman centurion. In fact, the usual case was that the Jews hated Romans. They hated the Romans because they were conquerors. They hated the Romans because they worshipped false gods. They hated the Romans because of their race. But this Roman's kindness overcame all that. In fact, in another gospel, we read that he had built a synagogue in Capernaum for the Jews. There's three things in this story that I think would help every single person here, whether you're lost or you're saved, whether you're on your way to heaven or on your way to hell, whether you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior or you haven't. Three things in the story of this centurion that will help every single one of us. So here they are. Number one, he expressed a need and his inability to meet it. He came to Jesus and said, I have a servant that's sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. I've tried all the doctors that I can find, and they can't help him. I've tried all the medicine that they have prescribed, and they can't help him. I've even taken to some of these people that say they can heal people, these false healers, and they can't help him. My citizenship, the fact that I'm a Roman citizen, has not helped my servant. My authority, the fact that I'm a centurion, have 100 soldiers under my command, has not helped my servant. My kindness, the fact that I am a kind man, has not helped my servant. He said, Jesus, I have nowhere else to go but you for help. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have a need. You may not be able to explain what it is, but there's something missing in your life. There's an empty spot in your life. Let me tell you what it is. Every single one of us was made to fellowship with God. That's why you were made. That's why you were born. That's why you're on this earth. That's why you're alive. God lets you be born. He oversaw your birth. He brought you into this world. And his purpose for every single purpose, every single person, is that we fellowship with him. Now, sin breaks up and destroys that fellowship. And that's what you're missing this morning. That's your need. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there is nothing on your own, by yourself, that you can do this morning to fix it. Your station in life can't fix your sin problem. Your education can't fix it. Your wealth can't fix it. Your good works can't fix it. Your family can't fix it. The Bible says there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to come to him this morning and say the same thing that the centurion said. Jesus, I have a problem. I've tried everything else to bring peace and satisfaction and meaning into my life, and they have all failed. The world, and I'll be honest with you, the world cannot offer you anything today, nor has it ever been able to do it, to fill that empty spot in your life. Nothing. Only Jesus can fill it. And again, you need to be like the centurion. Jesus, I have a problem, and there's nothing I can do to fix it. Where else can I go but you? I need your help. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, you may be in the same boat. Not that you're lost and going to hell, but just because we get saved doesn't mean we don't have problems. In fact, those that are saved could testify today that we still have problems, we still have heartaches, we still have burdens. Some people get saved and they trust Jesus as their Savior, and here's what they say to God. Okay, I can handle it from here. I can take care of it from here. Thank you for saving me. I don't need you for anything else. And that is not how God wants us to live. And he will continue to send problems and burdens and heartaches into our life as Christians until he gets us to the same point as that centurion where we come to Jesus and we say, I have a problem. I have a heartache. I have a burden and I don't know what to do. I've tried all my ideas. I've exhausted all my resources and there's nothing I can do to fix it. Who else could I go to but you, dear Jesus? Help me. Help me. He expressed a need and his inability to meet it. Number two, he exercised faith. The centurion came to Jesus and said, I have a servant at home. He's sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I'll go home with you and I'll heal him. I'll come with you and I'll heal him. And here's what the centurion said. Oh, no, Lord. I couldn't ask you to do that. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Here's all you need to do. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. I'm a man that has authority. I say to a soldier, come, and that soldier comes. I say to another soldier, go, and he goes. I say to another soldier, do this, and he does it. All you have to do is say the word, and my servant will be healed. And I think Jesus looked at him, and a big smile came across his face, and he said, man, you have great faith. I don't get to see this kind of faith too often. What a great faith you have. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to exercise your faith. You say, preacher, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The Bible says that God has dealt or given to every man a measure of faith. So don't tell me this morning you don't have any faith. You got faith because the Bible says that God gave you some. In fact, God gave you enough faith for you to believe this morning that you're a sinner. He's given you enough faith to believe that. Now, I'll be honest with you, you probably don't need much faith to believe that you're a sinner, because it only takes one sin to make you a sinner. How many of you exceeded the speed? Don't raise your hands. This is not confession. But how many of you exceeded the speed limit this past week? Oh, I said don't raise your hands. How many of you thought something that you shouldn't have thought about this week? How many of you got a little miffed at your husband or your wife? You say, preacher, is that a sin? Yes. Especially if you went to bed mad. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, the Bible says. I got to get back from that. I'm going to get preaching about something I'm not preaching about this morning. But look, you have enough faith to believe that you're a sinner. It only takes one sin to make you a sinner. How many of you told a little white lie this week? It makes you a sinner. But you have enough faith to believe the Bible when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has given you enough faith to believe this book when it says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death as we know it, but spiritual death, being separated from God. You have enough faith to believe that. You have enough faith to believe that when the Bible says that Jesus went to the cross, God laid on him every one of our sins, and when he died on Calvary, he paid for every one of our sins. God has given you enough faith to believe that. He's also given you enough faith to believe that if you ask him, if you ask Jesus, he'll save you. In Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't tell me you don't have enough faith. This book says that God has given to every man, every person, enough faith to get saved. And if you're not saved this morning, it's not because you don't have faith, it's because you haven't exercised it. And you need to be like this centurion. You need to say, I believe. I believe, Jesus, that you can do it. I'm going to exercise my faith, and I'm going to ask you to be my Savior. Now, I'll remind you this morning that, like the centurion, you are not worthy of that salvation. None of us are worthy. Listen to me. None of us are worthy of the salvation of Jesus Christ. If we got what we deserved as wicked, vile sinners, all of us would be in hell right now. Jesus did not come to save us because we deserved it. God did not send his son to die in our place because we deserve it. He does not save us because we deserve it. Again, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell. But he loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God proved, or as the Bible says, commendeth that love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, hey, clean up your act and I'll save you. Turn over a new leaf and I'll save you. Quit your sinning and I'll save you. No, he said, while you're sinners, I'll send Jesus to die in your place. If you're here today and you've never exercised the faith that God has given to every person, you exercise it this morning, because he promises in this book that if we'll come to him, he'll in no wise cast us out. You need to come. Now, if you're saved this morning, you need to do the same thing. You need to exercise your faith. What's your problem? Don't know what it is. I know what some of them are, but what's your problem? God has the fix. What's your heartache? God has the cure. What's your burden? Jesus can lift it. We have a God that can do the impossible. Little chorus we sing, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. Do you believe him? Do you think that he can do it? That's what he's looking for. That's what he expects from us as Christians, a people that believe that he's God and that he can do anything. Book of Hebrews says, without faith, believing that God can do anything, it is impossible to please him. And it would be a wonderful thing if God could say about us as individuals, and if God could say about us as a church, man, they got great faith. I don't see too much of this. I mean, I can just picture the scene in heaven in my mind. Here's Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And he takes a look down here. He says, hey, Moses, come here. Elijah, come here. Abraham, you come over here. You'll enjoy this. Paul, you come. Look down there. You see that lady down there? She has a big heartache. A big heartache. She doesn't know how she's going to make it. You know what she just did? She just asked me to work a miracle in her life. And you know what, guys? She believes that I can do it. She thinks that I can do it. She's expecting me to do it. What great faith she has. Or if he looks down, maybe calls two or three other of the disciples over to join the group. He say, hey, guys, you see that church down there in Clile? They pray. I mean, they pray on Sunday, and they pray on Wednesday, and they even get together on Thursday, and they pray. And they've asked me to do some big things. And you know what? They think I can do it. They really believe that I can do things that the world says is impossible. Big things. I don't see too much faith like that too often. And what a wonderful testimony that would be if we would order our lives and live our lives as Christians, knowing that we have a God that can do the impossible. Knowing that we have a God whose arm is not short. Knowing that we have a God that nothing is too hard for him. He exercised his faith. And then, number three, he enjoyed God's response. He expressed a need and his inability to meet it. He exercised his faith, and then he enjoyed God's response. Because Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. I want you to notice what the Bible says. That servant didn't get better. He was better. It wasn't a healing process. It was healing. I would like to have been in the room. I don't even know if the centurion was home yet. Here's the servant. He's laid out. And he's suffering from this disease. I mean, the Bible says he's grievously tormented. One second, he just don't know how he can bear the pain. And the next second, hey, what happened? What happened? I mean, I was sicker than a dog, and I was suffering, and now I'm well. I mean, I don't feel no more pain. I don't hurt anymore. I'm cured. And when that servant got home, and when the centurion got home and told that servant, yeah, I went to Jesus and I asked him to help you, and he said, go your way, because just like you wanted, I did it. That's what cured you. That's what got you better. And he enjoyed the wellness, the health of his servant. If you're here today and you're lost, you can do the same thing if you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You won't be getting saved. You will be saved. Because salvation is not a process. It's a happening. It happens just like that. One moment, you're lost, you're under the judgment of sin, you're headed for hell, you pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior, and the next moment you're saved, your sins are forgiven and under the blood, and you're on your way to heaven. It happens in a moment. Will you do it? Why wouldn't you do it? Why would you continue to live your life with that empty spot, with that lack of purpose, without that relationship with the one that made you? Why would you continue to do that? Why wouldn't you just this morning use the faith that God has given you and ask Jesus to be your Savior? As the song says, He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. And He will. And He will. You here today and you're saved? Will you do it? Will you believe God is a God that can do the impossible? Will you believe that God is a God that's got the answer to every one of your problems? Will you believe that God knows your heartache and knows how to cure it? Will you believe that God can lift those burdens? That's exactly what He's looking for us as Christians to do this morning. He wants us to lean on Him. He doesn't want us to walk through this life by ourselves. He wants us to get as close as we can to Him and lean on Him. We sing that song, what a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. So if you're here and you're a Christian, quit your worry. Lean. Quit your fretting. Lean. The chorus of that song says, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Will you do it this morning? I mean, you say, preacher, I don't have what I need. Oh, yes, you do. God gave you faith. He gives you enough faith to get saved. He gives you enough faith to live the Christian life. Our problem is we don't exercise it. We don't exercise it. Would you this morning? If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you got enough faith to be saved. That's what this book says. Would you exercise it? You're here today and you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Would you exercise your faith? Would you believe that you got a God that could solve every problem, lift every burden, cure every heartache? He'll do it. He'll do it if we just exercise our faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today, for the story of this centurion, for the blessed truth that he teaches us. And I pray right now that as we consider his story, as the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and to our mind, that we would follow his example. Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, a man, a woman, a teenager, I pray today they would exercise the faith that you've dealt to every person and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. Right now, they're under the judgment of sin. Right now, they're headed for hell. But Father, if they make that decision, if they just exercise that faith, they could be saved. They could be on their way to heaven. And I pray, Father, that you would give them what they need to do it. You've given them the faith. You've already done it. Just help them make that decision. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, you know what's on our hearts, our minds. You know the heartaches and the burdens that we have this morning. And I just pray that we'd always remember that we got a God that is God. There's nothing He can't do. You've proven to us over and over and over again. And I pray we'd learn to trust you more. Father, I pray you bless this time of invitation. If there's those here again that need to ask Jesus to be their Savior, help them to come and we'll help them from the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's those here that need to make other decisions, maybe some for baptism, maybe some for church membership, I pray you, Holy Spirit, that you would guide them and they'd be obedient to your leadership. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.